From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Shares of the new General Motors are trading on the New York Stock Exchange today, and the stock price is up in early trading. NPR's Paul Brown reports the initial public stock offering by the automaker gets taxpayers off the hook as majority shareholders.
The stock offering could be worth as much as $23 billion. It will make the U.S. government a minority GM owner for the first time since the auto industry bailouts started. The Obama White House calls the process begun by President Bush a success so far in rescuing a vital industry and saving jobs. Auto analyst Scott Painter of TrueCar.com agrees.
GM having a strong IPO and pricing at the high end of the range certainly speaks well of America and confidence in America.
But GM has plenty of challenges ahead. They include increasing profit margins in its important Chinese operation and turning its money-losing European business around. Paul Brown, NPR News. Washington.
The verdict in the trial of the first Guantanamo detainee to be tried in a civilian court is prompting some key Republican lawmakers to call on the administration to drop any plans for more such trials. Ahmed Gailani was convicted of a single conspiracy charge, but the jury cleared him on 284 other counts against him, including the most serious charges linked to the bombings of U.S. embassies in Africa in 1998. Gailani's attorney, Peter Cajano, says the outcome shows the strength of the federal criminal justice system.
This verdict is a reaffirmation that this nation's judicial system is the greatest ever devised. It is truly a system of laws and not men.
Gailani now faces a minimum of 20 years in prison and a potential life sentence for his role in the embassy bombings. Watchdog groups in Washington are mobilizing to push for more complete disclosure of political contributions. NPR's Peter Overby says they're reacting to the record amount of money raised from anonymous donors that was used to pay for a barrage of ads leading up to this year's congressional elections.
The groups include Common Cause, Public Citizen, and the League of Women Voters. They plan to call on the Senate to force disclosure by outside money groups, like the ones that ran attack ads in the midterm elections this fall, but didn't disclose where their money came from. The bill is a simplified version of a controversial measure that was blocked by Republican senators twice in recent months. The liberal group Public Citizen made a database of campaign spending. It identified more than 100 groups that did not disclose their donors. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.
First-time claims for unemployment benefits have barely budged, up less than 0.5% last week. The number of initial claims remains just below the 440,000 level. That's the lowest level in 2 years. But most economists say the initial jobless claims need to drop and stay below 425,000 to signal that employers are actually hiring again. Wall Street, the Dow is up 136 points. This is NPR News. Nobel Peace Prize winner Aung San Suu Kyi says her 7 years of detention by authorities in Myanmar were illegal. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports the opposition leader is denying that her release last weekend represents any concession by the country's military rulers.
Suu Kyi told the Associated Press that the only reason she had been released was that her term of detention was up and the government had no means of extending it. Despite her calls for direct talks with Supreme Leader Senior General Tan Shui, Suu Kyi says she has heard nothing from the authorities since her release on Saturday. Since then, she's busied herself trying to resuscitate her party, the National League for Democracy, which was banned for boycotting the recent elections. She's also met with leaders of ethnic groups fighting a guerrilla war against the military in Myanmar's border regions. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Bangkok.
A new survey suggests that Americans increasingly see marriage as optional, and 4 in 10 of those questioned by the Pew Research Center said marriage is becoming obsolete. Paul Taylor with the Pew Group says there's also a link between a person's socioeconomic status and the way they see marriage.
Marriage as an institution has shrunk across the board, but it has fallen much more among people at the lower end of the socioeconomic scale than people on the higher rungs. So there is a growing marriage gap in this country that didn't exist 40 years ago.
Taylor notes that census data show the percentage of adults in the U.S. who are married has been declining, down from 72% in 1960 to 54% this year. And among adults aged 25 to 34, the percentage of those who are unmarried now tops those who are married for the first time in more than a century. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.
Support for